right, welcome back to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. If you're happy to be back in church, I want to hear a big, loud amen. 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 All right, let's take our psalm books. Let's all stand. Take our psalm books and go to number 211. Whosoever meaneth me. Sing it out on that first. I am happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will may come with Him to stay. Sing it out, church! Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth. On that second, all my hopes have been raised, though His name be praised. His glory has filled my soul. I've been lifted up and from sin set free. His blood had made me whole. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever me. On that last stanza, oh, what wonderful love, oh, what grace divine, that Jesus should die for me. I was lost in sin, for the world I pinned, but now I am set free. Whosoever, love hearing you guys sing. Whosoever surely meaneth, sing it out, church. Amen. All right. Brother Wake, you praise into the service, please. Amen. Turn a couple pages back to number 207. And man, this one's a good song, Only a Sinner. Let's get excited about salvation today. Amen. 207, Only a Sinner.
Not have I gotten, but what I receive. Grace hath bestowed it since believe. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is the story, to God be the glory. I'm only a
sinner. Woo, man! That'll be enough to get a Methodist excited. On that second,
once I was foolish, sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus had found me, happy my case. I now am a sinner, saved by...
See it out, church!
Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only,
see it on that part,
saved by grace. This is the story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by,
on that third,
tears unavailing, no mercy had saved me.
Think about those words.
Sin had alarmed me, fearing God's face. But now I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Only
sinner, saved by grace. Man, I love hearing you guys sing.
Saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory.
Let's knock that roof off at on the fourth.
Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving a Savior to tell what He knows. Once more to tell it, would I embrace? I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace.
This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Amen. You may be seated. Good singing today, church. Right now we'll have Evangelist Zong come and give us some announcements.
Welcome back to Shure Foundation Baptist Church and the afternoon service. Raise your hand if you need a bulletin, and Elsha will bring one to you. All right, let's look at the verse of the week. Proverbs 12, verse 1. The Bible says, whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. It's a great verse telling us to receive corrections, and that's, you know, how we improve. And let's look at the inside page. Please follow us on our social media. We have service time Sunday morning at 11, Sunday afternoon service at 4, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. This Wednesday we'll be going through Judges chapter number 6, talking about the story of the judge Gideon. And then we have soul winning time Sunday afternoon at 1:30, and Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. And praise the Lord for one baptism this morning, and salvation is looking great of the year. Upcoming events, next Sunday afternoon we'll have a pie and pray service. It'll be a special service with a song request, a shorter sermon, and then we get to eat pie and raw milk and things like that. And Christmas service will take place on Sunday, December 21st, during the morning service. There'll be a potluck right after the morning service, and then we'll have a regular song winning and the afternoon service after that. And then the Christmas Eve service will take place on Wednesday, December 24th. So please join us to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Obviously, you know, he's not born on December 24th. It's probably in the spring, but, you know, we just decided to celebrate that on December 24th. Soul Winning Marathon next Saturday will be the last Gary event of the year. So please join us at 10:30 at the address below. We'll go soul winning, and then we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to have our second session. Also, December 27th is our last soul winning marathon of the year, the Winter Wonderland Soul Winning Marathon. We'll meet at the church building at 1, and we'll go out for 3.5-4 hours straight. Doesn't matter how cold it is, we'll push it through, and then we're going to meet for dinner together. Also, please help us with the cleaning of the church building right after the service today. And then we'll have a men's preaching night in 2 weeks. So if you're planning on preaching, please let me know your sermon topic prior to that. And the tithe and offering is for you to see. Let's look on the back side. The birthday's coming up. Lindsay is going to have her second birthday on Tuesday. Second? All right, on Tuesday. So let's sing her happy birthday to Lindsay. Ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Yeah, I think it's funny that in the last 2 weeks I was joking that we have a Sunday, you know, afternoon only crowd. But you know, now we have flip. Now today we have a Sunday morning only crowd. Maybe, you know, next month we'll have a Wednesday night only crowd. So we'll see how that goes, all right? But anyway, let's sing one more song, and then we'll take up the offering.
Amen. Let's go in our binders. Let's stay seated for this song. All the way in the back to Psalm 139, verse number 17, 18, 23, and 24. Psalm 139, verses 17, 18, 23, and 24. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Think about those words when singing.
How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee.
Sing it out now.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. When I awake, I am still with thee.
Amen. Ushers, come up and get ready for the offering. Brother Christian, can you pray for the offering, please?
Be in Galatians chapter 1 this evening, Galatians chapter number 1. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand and an usher will get one for you. I'll start reading Galatians chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persuaded the church of God, or I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many, my equals, in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Brother Elliot, will you pray for the service?
Amen. Just want to thank Evangelist Justin Zahn and Pastor Thompson allowing me to preach again. So really grateful to have another opportunity to preach. So let me get my notes here. So we just read Galatians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 7. which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, I don't think it's that much of a mystery where anyone would disagree with the statement that there are people out there that pervert the gospel of Christ. Everyone's got a different spin on what the gospel means, and they use it for, you know, different ends and things like that. But I'm going to be talking about a particular individual who has gained a lot of traction in social media, and someone that is very influential amongst young men, specifically men, I would say, probably in the later teens from early 20s and even mid to later 20s. So the title of my sermon tonight is this: Trash Human Nick Fuentes. Trash Human Nick Fuentes. Now, I'm sure some people are familiar with the name Nick Fuentes. He is a very popular political commentator and social media influencer. Just a little background on him. His full name is Nicholas Joseph Fuentes. He was born August 18th, 1998 in Illinois, in the United States. He gained prominence as a far-right political commentator and live streamer. He founded or is closely associated with the group sometimes called the Groyper Movement, which is just, you know, how will I call Christians for believing in Jesus Christ and everything like that. That's kind of what they attributed them to call themselves to, followers of Nick Fuentes, Groypers. And, you know, it's, yeah. Fuentes promotes a Christian nationalist white identity political framework, anti-immigration, anti-feminism, anti-LGBT, and skeptical or hostile to mainstream conservatism. Now, on the surface, we would agree with a lot of his stances on stuff like that. Hey, we're anti-LGBT. We hate faggots. You know, amen. You know, we hate them. We are, in a sense, well, we're definitely anti-feminist. You know, we believe women have their proper roles. But we don't do that to demean women. It's just that the Bible has made it very clear that they do have a proper role in society and things like that. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll be talking more into the differences of what we mean by anti-feminist and what he means by that. Anti-immigration, some people have mixed opinions on that, but, you know, that's what he promotes. He is also, and again, this is, I use sources like Wikipedia and other AJC as well as sources, so a lot of these are kind of more woke sources. But the reason why I use sources like that was I wanted to make sure I was getting a fair view of who Nick Fuentes was. You know, because if I went only to, like, the far-right sources, they probably paint him, like, as a savior of the white race and stuff like that, which, you know, I went to sources that were basically painting him in that picture. So I looked at both sources and basically got the more balanced view of how Nick Fuentes is like. And just from watching his videos and listening to his own commentary himself. But he also, according to them, he's espoused anti-Semitic views, including Holocaust denial and conspiratory rhetoric about Jewish influence in politics, which Jews influencing politics, that's just, I mean, everyone's, if you don't see that, you're blind, you know? So he's right about some things, but there's some things up against you that he's very wrong about. He rejects much of mainstream conservative movement, arguing his so basically he's a political guy. So his public impact and controversies. Fuentes attended and was connected to the 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, which had a lot of arrests and issues with law enforcement, things like that. He also has been deplatformed from major social media sites because of his controversial reputation. So why does this matter? Why preach a sermon about this? Well, here's why. His influence is part of a broader shift or pressure within the American right. Far right toward more explicit nationalism, racial identity politics, and rejection of conventional conservative norms. And in my opinion, the reason why I thought it was expedient for me to preach on a sermon about this individual is because he's influencing a lot of young guys just in this country, but also possibly in the church. I don't know. I mean, I'm not policing anyone in their personal life, but I'm sure they've seen this guy's videos a couple times on social media. And he'll say things right about the Jews and about stuff like that. So they're probably getting the wrong impression of him. So I kind of just want to set the record straight of how this guy is not someone we should listen to. This is not someone that is even saved. This is not a guy who's right with God at all. This is not someone who is godly at all. So I thought it was important to point out this guy and what he actually believes. Understanding him helps him in grasping the more radical fringes of political discourse today. And, you know, if you don't vote, whatever. I don't vote personally. But I do think it's important to know what's going on politically around us so that we can more effectively reach people with the gospel. You know, I know when Biden was president, when I was soul winning, I was able to get a lot of people saved by kind of being like, man, can you believe Biden's in office? Look what he's doing and stuff like that. And I'd be like, well, yeah, instead of having your faith in men, have faith in Christ. And I'd be able to, you know, win people over that way. Now with Trump in office, people are, with the whole Israel stuff, people are fed up with Israel. So now I kind of feed into that, be like, yeah, you know, you shouldn't be trusting the men, look what they're doing, betraying our country over to Israel and everything like that. But if you put your faith and trust in God, you're never ever going to have to worry about Jesus Christ betraying you for anything like that. And there's other reasons why we should be, I think, at least aware of things going on in our country, because you don't want to live on a rock and just next thing you know, the tribulation's here. It's like, oh, what happened? Oh, I guess I got it. You know, you like to be prepared just in case. So points is his ideology. He supposedly promotes the American first worldview. He's an ethno-nationalist, basically. Ethnicity is someone's identity in their country and things like that. And I'll go to what the Bible says about that as well. He openly advances, according to Wikipedia, anti-Semitic rhetoric, which, you know, yes, he questions the Holocaust and Jewish control in the media. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says this, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is folly and is shame unto him." You know, obviously, we don't want to just jump to conclusions about Nick Fuentes or some things he believes, even if he has really some really extreme views that I'll get to later in the sermon. We still want to hold things in balance. We want to make sure we're comparing everything he believes with the Bible. We're not getting sucked into any crazy far-right ideology and everything like that. Okay. And if you would, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. So I'm going to touch on the whole national, ethno-nationalist identity. Basically, having America as a white nationalist country. How does God feel about ethnicity and race? So what it says here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So the Bible makes it very clear here. If you have Christ, if you got the Holy Spirit, the common unifier in the church or amongst other Christians is you have the Holy Ghost. You're a Christian. You're a believer. You're sanctified by the Holy Spirit, positionally, meaning you're always going to heaven no matter what after you're saved. So, and we got quite a few diverse people here in this church, you know, and quite frankly, it is not a big deal for me or for anyone in this church. We're all Christians, we're all saved, we all love each other because we all have the common salvation that unites us. So, the idea of getting rid of just people based on their appearance or ethnicity is foolish and contrary to what the Bible teaches, because nowhere in the Bible are you going to see any godly Christian promoting, oh, let's just kick out all the black people. Let's just kick out all the Mexicans. Or any... the only time you see people being a little racist is when God rebukes them, like the Pharisees. Or even when the disciples kind of overstep an error when they are a little racist towards the Samaritans. You know, when John is like, oh, call down fire upon these Samaritans. They didn't receive us. And God's like, you don't know what spirit you're of. So that was my first point. Just kind of an overview of Fuentes, who he is, a little about him, his ideology. Pretty short point, just kind of introducing into who he is for those who aren't familiar. But and the reason is, I don't want, you know, just assume everyone knows who he is. I just want to be like, okay, this is who he is, this is what he's about. So point number two, Fuentes' unbiblical view on women. Now, Fuentes is really famous for the things he said against the Jews and the Holocaust, things like that, but he's also really famous for the really, quite frankly, really depraved stuff he said about women. And again, like I said, he's right about some things, but the problem is he'll like be right about calling out a problem, but then he'll misapply it. He'll have like a bad solution to it that is just not biblical. And Galatians 3:18 verse 19 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as fit unto the Lord." Verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." So, I have a lot of quotes from Nick Fuentes that straight from the horse's mouth, what he's actually said on camera. Now, he uses a lot of colorful language. I'm not going to repeat it because I'm just not, because I'm not going to come down to his level. But this is what he said, and we definitely are against abortion. as Christians. We think it's murder. We think any woman that goes through the procedure is under grievous sin and needs to get right with God right then and there. You know, we're anti-abortion. So is he. But he takes it to an extreme. This is what he says about why women shouldn't be getting an abortion. Hey, bleep, we control your bodies. Guess what? Guys win again. Men win again. You see here, he's applying all men control all women's bodies. Is that what the Bible just said in Galatians 3, verse 18, 19? No, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Your own husbands. Not everyone else's husband. Your own husband. So, the wife should be in submission to her own husband. You know, obviously, no one is in the churches like this, but, you know, it'd be a weird attitude to have if you were to treat all women in the church, be like, oh, yeah, you're subject to me, I'm a man, you're a woman. That's not biblical, you know? It's to their own husband. And here's another quote on what Nick Fuentes has said about women. Women were baby machines because that's what their brains are about. So he's very demeaning about women and their intelligence and just basically saying they're nothing good for just pumping out babies. Again, that's not what the Bible says at all. Now, the Bible says you're blessed if you have a lot of kids and you're a woman. Great. But you know, to be a housewife, you've got to be pretty smart. Because guess what? You've got to teach your children. So the Bible says teach your children, right? Right. Well, who's home most of the time to be able to teach your children? The husband or the wife? It's the wife. So women should be pretty darn smart then. If you're going to teach their kids the Bible, just basic life skills and everything like that. You know, it's such a weird attitude to have that, like, oh, women are just stupid. They, you know, are baby machines. No, that's just such an unbiblical, weird, quite frankly, retarded way to look at things. But, you know, this is coming from an unsaved Catholic, Nick Fuentes, who does not have the Holy Spirit. He doesn't, you know, understand basic facts when it comes to women because he has so much hatred towards women in his heart. I mean, you ever listen to the guy's videos, he's just constantly railing on women. It's like, dude, and you wonder why you don't have a girlfriend, dude, you know? And here's another quote from him. It says, the whole political system is just based around women never being accountable for any of their choices. I think a lot of men are looking at women. They are very liberal. They're overweight. They have a very high estimation of themselves. People call it hoflation. Yeah, hilarious. Their sense of their own looks and sexual value is very inflated. Now, some things is true. Are there a lot of women today taking advantage of the system? Yes. Are there women today that treat men poorly and take advantage of the court system to get custody over their children? Yes, that happens. But is it all women, though? No. Like, not every single woman's like this. I would argue very few of them are like this, actually. I think most women are just normal people, just trying to live their life and everything like that. And it says in the quote, too, a lot of men are looking at women. They're very liberal and overweight and stuff like that. Just generalizations, just college-wise statements, you know. But I'm going to, if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And just a quote, Proverbs 31, verse 10, verse 12, it says that the godly woman, I'll get there in a minute. But basically, the godly woman does exist. And Fuentes' view excludes the truth of Proverbs 31, which I'll get there in just a second. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it says this. Again, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So wives, there's a chain of command here. It's very clear. Wives submit to the husband. The husband submits to who? To Jesus. It's not like we don't have any authority. We got authority. Now, a lot of feminists like to think, oh, we have no authority. We can just do whatever we want while women got to submit to the husband. No. We got to obey the Bible. We need to obey Jesus Christ. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, and guess what? The church is subject unto Christ. He's the head of the church. Of their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I think this verse is very important as well. Because women get this weird idea. Feminist women in particular get this weird idea. Like, oh, you know, so you're telling me the husband can be a total dirtbag and I'm supposed to submit to them. The Bible says you actually are supposed to submit to the husband anyway. But the husband also has a command from God to also love the wife as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He died and sacrificed himself for the church. Husbands should be the same way to the wife. Sacrifice, do nice things for her, and things of that nature. And in verse 26 it says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing and blemish. I'm going to skip down to verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Again, you're seeing the parallel in this passage in particular constantly. Marriage is like how Christ is with the church. So, how Jesus Christ loves the church, died, sacrificed for it, that's how the husband should be to the wife, and the wife should reverence and greatly respect and admire that love that the husband is giving and submit to the husband. It's a very loving relationship. You know, the way Nifuentes wants to paint it is like, oh, you know, women should just be slaves to men. That's almost what he's advocating in a way, and it's just weird. Anyway, like I said, Proverbs chapter 31, you can turn there. Proverbs chapter 31. You know, the sad thing is, the reason why we have such losers today, like Nick Fuentes, why we have such uneducated morons like him being put up on a pedestal today is because we don't have people thundering the things of God behind the pulpit with power and boldness. Is why we have people like him being lifted up today. It says here in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil in all the days of her life. So, riddle me this. If what Nick Fuentes is saying is correct about there be no good woman out there, why would God say, hey, this virtuous woman will do him good and do him no harm all the days of his life? Why would God lie to us? Who's right? God or Nick Fuentes? Hopefully you got the right answer. It's God. God is right. And this just popped into my mind, but Psalm chapter 12, verse 8, it says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Why is there so much wickedness today in America? Why is there just feminism, faggotry, perverts, woman haters now, like Nick Fuentes? Why are they being lifted up? Why is there so much wickedness in the land? Because these pieces of trash are being exalted. Like Andrew Tate. You know, oh, Andrew Tate is just such a great godly man. That guy really got arrested for human trafficking last time I heard. In a Romanian prison. And he'll be rots and burns in hell. That's what I say about Andrew Tate. I don't care if he's right about being anti-feminist or whatever. You know, him, Nick Fuentes, those people like that are wicked. They're not right with God. They are not saved. And they need to get saved. So, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. And now, this is a good verse here. There are good women out there. Okay, men? Listen to me now. There are good women out there. Okay? You gotta find her. You see, in the Bible, you gotta find the virtuous woman. The wicked woman finds you. You gotta stay away from the wicked woman and find the virtuous woman. That is the truth right there. Now, is there just tons of virtuous women out there? No, they're very hard to find. That's why her price is far above rubies. And rubies are really, really valuable. You sell a ruby, you're going to make a lot of money doing that. So that was my second point, his unbiblical view on women. And again, if you want to look him up and look up all his comments online, I think I did a pretty good job kind of shielding you from some of the more even grosser things he said about women. Because when I was doing my research on this guy, I was disgusted. And this guy is literally my age. And this guy sounds like he never graduated high school. His maturity level is just so stinking. Well, I was shocked to find out how close to my age he was. I'm like, this guy is like no older than 22. He's just asked like such a immature high school or junior high guy, right? I was like, man, you're almost 30, bro. You gotta get up, clean up your act, man. So, my third point. Fuentes' warped view on sexual matters. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 22. And again, I'm not going to repeat all the really gross words he says in his quotes. I'll shield you of those. Deuteronomy 22, verse 25. It says this. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her, that's rape, right, and lie with her, and the man only that lay with her shall die. Now, this is what you need a King James Bible. Now, commercial break from Nick Fuentes. I'm going to talk about why we're King James only. Because in the other versions, it'll corrupt this verse and basically make it say, like, you got to marry the rapist. Now, that's where they get this weird idea now, these atheists. Oh, Christians, you believe when someone gets raped, that person's got to marry the rapist. Well, not if you're reading the King James Bible. The King James Bible says to put them to death. King James Bible says that they should die. Only the one that lieth with the woman shall die, and no one else. So, that's why you got to have the right Bible, by the way. Because you'll have weird stuff like that being translated by these reprobates that are literally corrupting God's word. Anyway, back to Nick Fuentes. Verse 26. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. The woman's innocent in this scenario here. She didn't do anything wrong. She was just minding her own business, and this bozo, this idiot, decides to just force himself upon her in that way. And, you know, only the rapist should be put to death. You know, it's so funny how these people that are trying to push abortion, they'll be like, well, what if she's raped? Kill the rapist! Right. How hard does it have to do? Why kill the baby? The baby didn't do anything about that assault. Put the rapist to death, move on with your life. Well, I don't like looking at the baby, though. It reminds me of the crime. Okay, give it to a friend or a family member where they can adopt it. Killing the kid should never be a solution to a problem, ever! Right. Now, 99% of the time when someone has an abortion is because they're just committing fornication and don't want to pay the consequences for it. Let's be real. That's really why people are getting abortions today. So this is what Nick Fuentes said about the subject of, you know, sexual assault. Again, I swear, this is what he said. A lot of women want for this to happen, to be raped. He said that. In one broadcast, he mocked men who wouldn't threaten to sexually assault a woman, saying, a sweet, nice little guy that isn't threatening, that isn't going to force her, I would never force you. I would never beat the bleep out of you. So this guy's mocking people that don't commit this crime. I mean, what's that settle in? I mean, what is this guy, what's going through this guy's head? Man, I really don't want to know. Proverbs 26, verses 18-19 says this, As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? So, Nick Fuentes' basically go-to whenever he's confronted about some of these very disgusting things he said about women and just people in general, he'll be like, oh, I was just joking. That's his go-to one. Oh, I was joking there. Oh, I was just kidding. Okay, even if he was, it's still sin. Because the Bible says here in Proverbs 26, verse 18, a madman that casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is a man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? And Evangelist Zahn quoted a good verse earlier in his sermon this morning that we shouldn't have foolish jestings and foolish speech coming out of our mouths. We shouldn't be saying jokes that are just offensive, just to offend people, because that's a sin in itself as well, because you could cause a brother to stumble or something like that. So, even if he was joking, why would you say something so horrible and grotesque like that? That's a sin in itself. Honestly, I kind of hope he was joking, but I don't know. But yes, oftentimes, Fuentes will say he was joking when saying these crazy statements. Yeah. And Fuentes also seems to tolerate, if not he himself be a pedophile, because he went on a record on a stream with Stephen Cron, who also goes by the name Destiny, who's not also another famous streamer and a political commentator and things like that. Has also said really gross things about children. This is what he said about children, Destiny. And then this is Nick Fuentes' reaction to that statement live on this live stream. Destiny says, children are hotter than adults. Any normal person that was in the same room with that guy, I'd probably clock him in the face. What did you just say? You know? But this is what Nick Fuentes says. Oh, based. Let's effing go. That's why we love Destiny. Let's say that again. That's why we love Destiny. Wow. So, you're really praising a guy that just said a very disgusting thing about children. Okay. Good job, dude. Psalm chapter 7. You can turn there if you want. Psalm chapter 7. And again, I don't think people really realize just... Honestly, when I was writing my sermon researching this, I didn't even know half the stuff he said. I was like... I mean, I already didn't like him, but after writing the sermon and now me preaching about it and talking about it and just thinking about this stuff, I don't want any person, teenager, young adult, to ever be influenced by this weirdo. This is a sick individual. Amen. Psalm chapter 7, verse 11 says this, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Oh, God's not mad at you. God loves you. God loves you the way you are. No, God said, the Bible says God is angry at you. You know what God is angry at, Nick Fuentes? If he doesn't get saved, he will spend an eternity in hell. Forever. No rest day or night. In Psalm chapter 11, verse 5, it says this, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. God doesn't hate anyone. Well, according to the verse I just read to you, Jesus Christ hates Nick Fuentes.
Amen.
Because rape's violent, isn't it? It is. And oftentimes people die from it. I mean, Judges 19, you got a really gnarly story of a concubine being literally raped to death by the faggots, by the sodomites, the children of Belial. It's a violent act. And the person that loves that, which, you know, if what I, the quotes I write to you by Nick Fuentes and what he said, and he wasn't joking, even if he was, he's still taking joy in it in some form, he loves violence. You know what? God hates a person like that. God hates a person that would make a joke out of sexual assault. That's not godly. That's not right. Show me anyone in the Bible or any godly man did anything like that or anything remotely like that. You're not going to find that. It's horrific. Oh, you can't take a joke. Oh, you're such a sequel, Brother Stephen. Now, I am a lover of truth and a lover of the Bible and a lover of things that are pure. We as Christians should love purity. We as Christians should not think that this stuff is enjoyable or funny to listen to.
Amen.
We just should. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21 says this. If you want to turn there, you can. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them, them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. I'm wise in the sight of God because I follow His word, and His word is always right. Nick Fuentes follows his own little wicked, disgusting, perverted, demented heart. And look what the kind of fruit he's reaping. It's evil. So that's my third point. His warped view on sexual matters. So far I've done an introduction to Nick Fuentes, his ideology, politically speaking. Point two, I went over his view on women. Point number three, his view on, you know, sexual matters and things like that. Point number four. I mentioned it earlier in the sermon, but really the spiritual reason why he's like this is because he's Catholic. He has a false gospel. Fuentes' false pro-Catholic revisionist history. So because he's Catholic, he wants to paint this idea that America would somehow be better under a Catholic government. He said that multiple times. That is his goal politically. So he'll have some conservative ideology mixed with Catholic doctrine. You know, this country was great because we were Christian, not because we were Catholic. Catholicism is a wicked, false religion that will send you to hell. Every Catholic is going to hell right now if they don't get saved. Every Catholic. Well, some of them are saved. Okay, maybe someone will say they're Catholic, but they only go like once a year, and they actually had a Baptist knock on the door and get them saved. Okay, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people that are regular attenders of Mass, and they believe the doctrines, and they're put, and that's what they're trusting to go to heaven. Those people are not saved. They are going to hell when they die. You know what? It's loving for me to say that. You know, I think about this example a lot when it comes to soul winning. You know, I'm driving down the road, and you're riding with me in the car. At the end of the road, let's say it's 5 miles, there's a cliff. The loving thing for me would be like, hey, let's turn around because we're going to drive off a cliff. We're going to die if we drive off this cliff. But let's say I say nothing, and we just drive off a cliff, and we won't die, you know? Well, that wouldn't be very loving. It's the same way. It's the same thing when it comes to telling people you're not saved, because they're going down to the spiritual abyss of hell.
That's right.
This just popped in my mind. You don't have to turn here, but Luke chapter 16. Just want to make a quick point about this. Is hell is eternal. Hell is not something that just, oh, you go there for a couple seconds and it's over and then you cease to exist or something like that. No. This is an eternal punishment that God has prescribed for all sinners if they don't get saved. Luke 16, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So the beggar was saved. He died. He was carried by the angels into heaven. Yes, Abraham's bosom is heaven here in this story. It's not a compartment of hell. You know, weird dispensationalist idiots, you know? The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23. And in hell. Is there purgatory? Was there a little waiting period? Nope. As soon as he died, he's in hell, lifting up his eyes in torments. The very second someone dies not saved, that is what they're experiencing forever. I mean, think how terrifying that is. You're surrounded by your loved ones. Let's say you live till you're 93 years old. You're surrounded by your loved ones and you die peacefully in your sleep. And after that, you're just burning in the most excruciating pain you could imagine. You're seeing all the horrible creatures mentioned in Revelation 9 just tormenting people around you. It's just darkness. It's just fire, brimstone, burn at you. You want to scream, but you can't because the fire's in your lungs. And that lasts forever. That is not something that is temporary. The Bible says the smoke of their torment is up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. None. This is why I preach hard against Catholicism. This is why I preach hard against people like Nick Fuentes, because people like him are sending people to hell. This horrible place where people will spend eternity in agony and pain and will never see light again. Why do we care about soul winning? Why do we go out there reaching the lost? Because this is their fate if they don't get saved. They spend eternity in agony in hell forever. Why preach about this? Because there's a little hell at the center of the earth where people are being tormented, screaming in pain, wishing for one drop of water. Just one. Because they're tormenting this flame so much. You know what? And this is why I am really angry at Nick Fuentes too. And personally, again, you can have a different opinion on it, but I think he's a reprobate at this point because he has mocked the gospel and has mocked Christianity and has mocked the whole faith alone doctrine for salvation. He insists the Catholic Church is the one true church and the way to heaven. He's very adamant about it. He's bastardized salvation with Catholicism and his politics, some twisted narrative that is not only also only wrong, but also very dangerous. Again, why is this dangerous? Because there is a hell.
That's right.
God gives us the explicit location in Matthew 12:40, where it says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in a whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Jesus Christ's soul was in hell. It says in Acts 2:31, but his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. So, and I believe Jesus Christ experienced, because the Bible says also in the New Testament, he experienced the pains of death. I think that's someone with a spiritual death too. I think he experienced actual pain when he was in hell. Now, it was only for 3 days and three nights, but do you want to spend 3 days and three nights in hell? I don't want to spend a single millisecond in hell. It's that horrible. John 14, verse 6 says this, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. I don't care. Listen, I could be the only guy that believes what the Bible says about salvation. Everyone else is a stinking Jew or Catholic. You know what? I'm right because I believe what the Bible says, and they're all wrong. They're all damned to hell. It's that simple. Oh, no, you can't be the only one that's right. It's not me that's right. It's just God that's right. I'm believing what God said. Amen. Well, that book was written by man. Oh, you mean this book right here, the King James Bible, for over 400 years has been used and tried by many churches, not only Baptists, many other churches that aren't Baptists, have gotten a lot of people saved. So we've just been wrong for the last four centuries now because, oh, you said so, Nick Fuentes? Yeah. How prideful do you have to be to think you know more than the Bible? You know more than God. Give me a break. Again, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says this. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You know what the Bible says? Hey, if anyone's preaching another gospel than you, let them be cursed. Just let them be. Leave them alone. Because it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 11, it says this. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Hey, you know what? It's up to us. Salvation's free. It's easy. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No one on this planet has to go to hell. Everyone that goes to hell right now is because it's their fault. They chose it. They didn't want to get saved. Oh, it's too easy. I'm going to do it my own way. Okay, have fun with that. You're going to burn hell forever. You know, Nick Fuentes right now, if he was just to call upon the name of faith, Jesus Christ would save him like that. Wouldn't even think about it. Wouldn't be like, oh, well, you said all these bad things about women, Nick Fuentes. I'm not going to save you. No, he's just like, yep. That's why I died for you. I don't think he's going to because he's full of pride. You know, that's why the Bible says that with meekness and humbleness, we minister to those that oppose themselves because they're literally fighting themselves. You know, it's honestly, pride is the reason why people won't get saved. They just think they can do it themselves. They don't need God. They don't need the Bible. They're just going to do it all on their own. Okay. Let me know how that works out for you because every other person that's told me that is in hell. John 3:16 says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to perish. I like that verse too because a lot of people quote that verse but they don't know what it means. Or they just don't, I guess they don't think about it. Because it literally says, not perish. But then, present tense, have everlasting life. Oh yeah, but it's a process. Oh, but you'll get eternal life later. But have. That's present tense. But have everlasting life. Romans 10:9 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how someone gets saved. It's by believing in your heart in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to take it to heaven when you die. If you do that, and you believe it, you're saved forever. You can never lose it. This is eternal life. How can you lose something that's eternal? It's ridiculous. So that's point number four. My last point. Why does this matter? Why does it matter? We need wise counsel as Christians. You know, yes, we're saved. Yes, we're going to heaven no matter what. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you listen to people like this, it will affect you. It will. You may think, oh, there's no way I'd ever be affected by someone different if I listen to him for a little bit. Because I read my Bible a score times, I know all the doctrines, but you know what? It's like a little canker worm. Just slithers into you and eats little by little at you. That's why. Or that's what happens. The word counsel appears in 137 verses in the King James Bible. The word counsel means advice, opinion, or instruction given upon request or otherwise for directing judgment or conduct of another. Opinion given upon deliberation or consultation. Basically, advice. And we need counsel as Christians. You can't just be a lone ranger as a Christian. You need church. You need biblical preaching to keep you grounded, to keep you in the fight. You need other brethren to encourage you to keep going soul winning, to do the right thing, to follow the Bible, to pray. You need these things. Now, don't be the hyper-spiritual guy that says, oh, I can do it all on my own. No, actually, I do better soul winning when I'm not in church. You know? That's goofy. That's stupid. You know, I'll say it right now. You know, when I was by myself going to an old IFB church, I was the only soul winner in my IFB church. And I would go oftentimes soul winning by myself. But I'm getting way more people saved going to a church that goes soul winning than ever doing that. So you need to be in a church that does soul winning, that goes out and preaches the gospel to people. Because I'll tell you right now, soul winning by yourself sucks. It wasn't fun. I had the cops calling me 3 times. It was rough. It was stressful. But, you know, by the grace of God, I still got like 64 people saved doing that. But you know what? I'm way more effective being in a church that already has a bunch of other soul winners. Wow. You know, I need church. No, I need other people to encourage me. Because I'll tell you right now, if it was up to me to keep soul winning all by myself, I'd quit. I would. You guys here, you encourage me to keep doing the right thing. Keep going out there preaching the gospel to people.
Amen.
So, it says here in Proverbs 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So, again, that's the pride of your heart. The pride of your heart will be like, oh, you can do everything on your own. You can just do it yourself. Well, the Bible says, with the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's what I think personally. If you can listen to more sermons throughout the week, go for it. I think it's great. I listen anywhere from like 12 to 15 sermons a week right now. I love it. I love hearing other preaching. I love hearing other spirit-filled men thundering forth the truths from the Bible, because it keeps me grounded, it keeps me sane, and it keeps me in the right mindset. Because the world is just full of wickedness, it's full of idiots like Nick Fuentes. Now, let's say I listen to him every day of the week instead of other godly men preaching the word. I'd be acting way different here. We all would if we were listening to idiots like him. You know? It says in Proverbs 19, verse 20, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end." Because do we just know everything right off the bat? No. We need to be corrected. We need instruction. We are constantly trying to learn. If you're not growing, then you're backsliding. You know, if you're not applying, you're dying. You got to apply the word of God in your life. If not, you're gonna backslide. There's no stagnation in the Christian life. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. You need to constantly keep putting work into your Christian life. That's the only way you're gonna be able to keep sin out of your life for the most part. And even when we do that, we still sin. I mean, I still sin every day. I still struggle with things I've struggled with all my life. It's just how we are. That's why the whole repentance of sins is the most retarded thing I've ever heard in my life. Because, oh yeah, well, to be saved, a good indication that you're saved is that you've forsaken all of your sins. Oh, that's it? That's all I gotta do? Oh man, you know, sign me up, that's easy. Just stop sinning? Oh yeah, I can do that right now, right? No, everyone struggles with sin. Proverbs 21 verse 30 says this, "There is no wisdom." Okay? Is there some wisdom? No, there's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The counsel that Nick Fuentes provides is against the Lord. I mean, he openly mocks faith alone through Jesus Christ. The literally the Romans wrote, he just makes fun of it. He thinks it's stupid. Oh yeah, well that Bible is written by men. You know, you gotta go with what the church fathers said, because that's where the real authority comes to. Oh yeah, a bunch of queers and faggots that dress in a bunch of dresses, and you gotta call them Papa, and they look like Mama! Those are the people I gotta go to? That's my authority? That's ridiculous. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6. "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and a multitude of counselors there is safety." And again, when you have safeguards in your life, why did God make church? Why did God have pastors? Why did God have deacons? Why did God have other Christians in your life that are of influence to you? There are safeguards in your life. And I get it. Sometimes it can be a drag to go to church. I mean, a lot of us do drive pretty far to come here. I get it. But you know what? It's a safeguard in your life. You know? And I think about this often, too. Like, what would I be doing today if I were not in church? Who knows? Probably some stupid sin I'd be getting into, because I got the sinful man. I got the old man. But you know what? I'd rather spend my Sunday at church with God's people,
right,
preaching the gospel, reaching the lost, literally changing people's eternal destiny. I mean, we don't see it, and I get it. Sometimes it kind of can be a drag about soul winning. Sometimes it's like, okay, we're going on soul winning again. But think about this. I already talked about hell. Hell lasts forever. And literally, the moment someone dies, that's the eternal fate forever. That's it. We have the power by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God to go out and to prevent that from ever happening to someone. That's incredible. I mean, how would you like to... I mean, imagine if you had the cure to cancer. Wouldn't you knock on every door and try to distribute and administer the cure to every person you know and love? Okay, we have something better than that. It's called the gospel. We have something way better than the cure to cancer. It's called the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ paid for all our sins. All of them.
Right.
Every single sin I've done, you've done, past, present, future. On to him. He already paid for it. Yet, how stupid are people today that make fun of that and belittle that and say, well, I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
Bro, it's already paid for. Just take the gift and live the rest of your life. I don't know about you. When I was 8 years old, when my dad told me the gospel, I was happy. I was like, great, yeah. Because literally that night when I got saved, I was having a nightmare about hell, like, because I was afraid to go to hell. I knew where I was going. I was a sinner. And I believed on Jesus Christ. I got saved. And I just felt so happy ever since then. Just like, it's settled. It's done. I never have to worry about hell ever again for the rest of my life, because I have Jesus Christ holding me. And that's great. You know, And that's why people in this life just live on such with such uncertainty, because they don't have that assurance that we can show them through the Bible. So, again, should we be listening to Nick Fuentes? Unless you want a good laugh, no. No. Do not listen to this vile piece of trash, Nick Fuentes. Listen, I think personally he's a reprobate just from how much he has made fun of God and, you know, Christians and things like that. But you know what? If he can get saved, I hope he does. I really do. I don't want him to spend eternity in hell. I don't. But you know what? This man will have a lot to answer for before God if he doesn't get saved. You know, he'll have to justify every single thing before God at the great white throne judgment. And honestly, if you're a saved Christian and you're listening to this guy, why? Like, listen, I'm not saying like, oh, you know, I'm going to come to your house and, you know, check your search history and stuff like that. No, I'm just saying. Is it the wisest thing you can be doing with your time listening to someone like that? You know, listen to godly, spiritual men like Pastor Oz, Pastor Shelley, Pastor Anderson, or Pastor Thompson. You know, Pastor Thompson has been preaching some awesome sermons lately. Listen to him. You know, those are men you should be listening to if you're a young man. Look to them for guidance. Evangelist On preaches great spirit-filled sermons. Amen. That provide great insight from the Word of God. And come here on Wednesday nights if you can. Because I'm starting right now, I'm learning a lot from the book of Judges right now. Just from his last couple sermons. I think he's nailed it too. Pun intended. Anyway, with that, we're going to close with a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for this word, Lord. I just pray, God, that, you know, we would stay away from wicked people like Nick Fuentes, Lord. We wouldn't allow his ideology and his influence to corrupt our hearts, Lord, and we would stay pure from this wicked world. In your name, Jesus Christ, name I pray. Amen.
That sermon reminded me of Psalm 139, the other one, the version about surely thou wilt slay the wicked. Let's sing that. Let's go in our binders and go to Psalm 139, verse number 21. I'm sorry?
Are we changing the song?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Psalm 139, verse number 21.
Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody man. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody man. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. For they speak against thee wickedly. For they speak against thee wickedly. And thine enemies take thy name in vain. And thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that on that last. I hate them with perfect hatred. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. I count them mine enemies. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come to your house and listen to your word, Lord. Thank you for the sermon this morning, Lord, the sermon this afternoon, Lord. Help us stay away from wickedness and pieces of garbage like Nick Fuentes, Lord. Help us, Lord, be edified through your word and through men of God, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to please be with our members this week, Lord, as we go and resume our regular lives, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to please bless the upcoming services and the church, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.